Good morning. You have been off for a little while, holidaying. Well, it's nice to see you back again. Now we're turning to 1 Kings, the chapter 17. We'll read a few verses at the beginning of the chapter and just bring these matters before our minds once more. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Amen, and may the Lord bless this reading from his holy and precious word. Now, the last time we were together, we were considering the likeness between Elijah and the Lord Jesus Christ that is to be seen in that Elijah was a man of confrontation. That means he confronted the enemies of the Lord. That's very obvious from the opening verses of chapter 17. Here he is confronting the king. Confronting the king. But he went on, as you know, to confront the people and challenge them. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then worship him. And he also confronted the priests of Baal. So he was a man at war with that which was evil and that which was wrong. And it may surprise some people when we remind them that the Lord Jesus, if I might put it this way, was a man of war. He is, of course, the captain of the Lord's army. He's the captain of our salvation. And he confronted, from the very beginning, the leaders, religious leaders. He confronted the people concerning their sins and their unbelief, and he confronted even King Herod. He challenged Pilate when he met with him during his trial. So, a servant of God is to also be like that. It is our task, it is our duty to be like the Lord. We have an old hymn that we sing, I would be like Jesus. Sadly, a lot of people who sing that don't really want to be like Jesus. Because if you do live like the Lord Jesus, then you will bring opposition to your doorstep. There will be a rising up of those who hate the Lord, hate his truth, hate the light, and they'll try to silence you, opposing you most strongly. And for that reason, sadly, all too many Christians choose to be quiet and try to tiptoe through the world and not let on who it is they believe in, hoping the world will not notice them. That's not the way God would have us to live. So that's what we were looking at, basically, the last time we were together. Now we're going a little further in our study of the likeness that there is between Elijah and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in the verses 2 and 3 that after Elijah has delivered the message to Ahab, we're told the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And I want you to notice today that Elijah, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, was withdrawn and hidden in a time of danger and threat. I'm not sure whether Elijah would have been fully aware of the danger that he now faced as a result of saying what he did to Ahab. I'm sure he knew that the king will not be too pleased with what I have just said, but I just wonder if he realized how displeased the king would be. But anyway, the Lord said to him, go and hide yourself. And they not only instructed him to do that, and perhaps we might note that had Elijah himself thought, maybe I should go and hide now after I have told the king, maybe Elijah would then have said, but that would be a cowardly thing to do. I shouldn't even think of hiding. I should just stand and be bold. Maybe that would have been the reaction. And I'm inclined to think that that would have been the reaction of Elijah if he had thought, you know, I'm in danger, I better go and hide. And so the Lord said to him, you go and hide. I want you to go and hide. It's my will that you go and hide, that you withdraw from the danger that faces you. And so Elijah, with the authority of God, went and hid himself. You'll notice that God told him exactly where to go. God had a hiding place for him. We read it there in the verse 3, turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now he had come to the city of Samaria. He had lived away over here in Gilead. He had traveled westward till he came to the city of Ahab, city of Samaria. He told the king what we read in the opening verse. And then God says, now get thee eastward and hide yourself in and around the brook Cherith, which is before the Jordan. The Jordan River ran right down the eastern side of Israel. So he had to go eastward, not quite to the Jordan, but somewhere in the vicinity of it, where there was a small river that flowed into the Jordan, and he was there to hide. God had picked a hiding place for him. You know, boys and girls, in danger, God always has a hiding place for his people. We shouldn't try to form or find or develop or build a hiding place for ourselves. Some people do. Some people, when the world threatens them or the devil threatens them, as I've already stated, they resort to silence. I'll not let on, I'm a Christian. Maybe they even resort to lies. And they sort of state, well, really, I'm not a Christian. I'm not part of those people. Do you remember Peter? What did he do? He felt in danger. He felt threatened. Peter was frightened. And he sought a refuge for himself. And the refuge he sought was in lies. I don't know him. I don't know this man at all. That's what he said. And sadly, all too many copy him. But there is a refuge. A refuge is the Lord. And we should seek unto him in a day we feel threatened. Look to him alone. And he will provide for us according to his will. In this instance, God provided a place for Elijah. Now, it's not that unusual for God to do what he did here for Elijah. As I've said, in times of danger, God will often hide his prophet. Remember what we read about David? Why, David spent a lot of his early life hiding. He really did. For instance, 1 Samuel, the chapter 22 and the verse 1 reads, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. He escaped. He went away and he hid because of the threat that faced him from Saul and Saul's supporters. Now, this is the man who had faced Goliath on his own, but now it's God's will for David that he go and hide. Of course, God had a purpose in doing that. Not just a matter of preserving David. God could have preserved David without hiding him. But God had a purpose in hiding David. And that purpose is suggested to us in the latter part of the verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 22. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it. Heard what? That David had escaped and gone to hide in the cave of Adullam. They went down thither to him. I think that was God's purpose. You see, when David was brought into reproach and brought into danger, then men who knew him had to decide, will we stand with him or will we just let on we have nothing to do with him? In times of conflict and times of danger, there's always the challenge to God's people. Where do I stand? What am I going to do in this whole business? Am I going to own the Lord? Am I going to own his truth? Or will I keep quiet and hide? We're all too many who did that in the day of the Lord Jesus. Though they knew and believed that he was indeed the Messiah, yet they owned him not, lest they would be put out of the synagogue, lose favor with men, be brought into reproach and shame because of their association with the Lord Jesus. So they kept quiet. So God here permitted this development in the life of David, in order to test those who would have had sympathies with David. And I must say that I'm encouraged when I read this statement that his brethren and all his father's house went down thither to him. Do you remember how when David came to fight Goliath, do you remember how his older brother had responded? He sneered at David. He was angry with David. What are you here for? I know the naughtiness of your heart. You've slipped away from looking after the sheep in order to come and see the battle. And there was a questioning, a doubting of David, and anything but a spirit of admiration and love for David shown by the brother, and likely by the other brothers as well. And remember too, that when David had been anointed king, all the other brothers had been passed by. They all had come forward full of anticipation, full possibly of hope. Maybe I'm the one. But Samuel said, no, not him. Anyone else? Next one? No, not him. And he passed by them all until he finally had to say, well, have you any more sons? And they said, well, there's the young fellow, he's out there looking after the sheep. I didn't bother bringing him in, for I didn't think for a moment he'd be a likely candidate. Bring him in. And when David came, the Lord said, this is the one. Now, can you imagine the reaction among the brethren when that happened? For they would have shared their father's opinion of David, that it's not worth bringing him in. He's only a youngster. But we read that he was the one. And now we see that these brothers, not chosen by the Lord, and who possibly shared the oldest brother's vexation at David turning up at the camp of Israel, as Goliath was sneering and mocking, and they were showing every sign of fear of Goliath. It's nice to see them now coming out on David's side. When God hid David, they went and they shared in the reproach and in the danger of David. Now, boys and girls, that's what God wants us to do. When the Lord Jesus is reproached and mocked and sneered, he wants us to stand with him. You can read that in Hebrews, in the chapter 13 of Hebrews, where Paul says that we are to go on to him without the camp. Verse 12, Hebrews. It's a good little sequence of numbers to remember that Hebrews 13, verse 13. But before we read 13, let's read verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, outside of the gate, outside of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, bearing his reproach, sharing in his reproach. That's what we are to do. When the gospel is in reproach, when it's a day when many voices are raised against the Savior and his truth, we are to share in that reproach. Just like the brethren of David shared in David's shame and David's danger and David's reproach. Now the Lord did the same with Jeremiah. I suppose I could go through the Bible and we'd find that there were times when it's recorded that most of the prophets had been in danger on some occasion or other, and God had hidden them, God had preserved them. In the case of Jeremiah, we read in Jeremiah chapter 36 and the verse 26, but the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamalek, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdil, to take Baruch the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. The Lord hid them. He wouldn't allow the king to take his servant and doubtless do him harm, imprison him at the least, but possibly kill him. God hid him. I tell you, God has oftentimes hidden his servants from his enemies. In the history of our own people, for we do have links with the Covenanters of Scotland, many of whom came over here to Ulster, and we can trace our own roots back to those men. And during the persecution of the Covenanters, God was pleased to hide them. I think of one occasion when they were in great danger and the English redcoats on horseback were galloping to destroy those that they had found worshipping. That's what they were doing. Worshipping! And it looked as if they were doomed. God sent a mist. and it just descended on the area, and the soldiers couldn't see their hand in front of them. But the people who were familiar with the area well, they were used to mists as well. They could find their way, and they escaped. That's God. And it is recorded that at the time the people ascribed to God this act of hiding them. In times of danger, God hides his people, hides his prophets. In saying that, I'll start another point, although I'll not get too far in it, time's up, but that happened too with the Lord Jesus. You see, what we're doing here is finding the likenesses, the similarities between Elijah and the Lord Jesus. And when we look at the Lord hiding Elijah, can we see something similar happening during the ministry of the Lord Jesus? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And I leave you with the homework of maybe coming up with an occasion in the gospel records of the Lord Jesus being hidden from those who would wish to do him harm. But I'll come to that. I might well ask you now to see if you have looked it up when we gather together on Thursday in the will of the Lord. So be sure that you do try to find a passage, at least one, where you have the Lord Jesus being hidden from his enemies. Learn to use a concordance. I'm sure you have a concordance in the house. Learn to use it. Think of the words that are associated with what it is you're looking for, and search out the use of those words, where they appear in the New Testament, and you may find just the very verse you're looking for. Well, may the Lord bless what has been said to your heart and to your good. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we pray for your blessing. We thank thee that thou art able to preserve your people. You're able, Lord, to overcome the attempts of the enemy to destroy the gospel. We sang old Luther's hymn that spoke of the greatness of the devil, but the greater power of the Lord Jesus to defeat the devil's wickedness. And Lord, we thank thee for these examples that we've looked at of how God thwarted the attempts of the evil one to destroy God's witnesses. Bless the boys and the girls today. Undertake for them. We think of the children's meeting and the little outing that's planned. May it please thee, Lord, to order all things for the good of the little ones. Bless the school. Preserve it. Be with every teacher. Meet their needs for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.